It was a good ending. Well, beloved, I just read a text to you that is the traditional text for Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, depending on what your tradition is. It's a passage of Scripture that reminds us of Jesus washing the disciples' feet on Thursday night, and then they had their Passover Seder meal. But I want to read to you the text for today, because we find a strong connection between them, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. So the text that I'm going to read to you is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem from Mark's Gospel. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing? Why are you untying the colt?" They told him what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the roadway, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who were following started shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Well, this passage sets us up for today. Reminds us of this passage. I've had the privilege of going to Israel multiple times. And every time I go and do the Palm Sunday procession, it always deeply moves me. What's really interesting about it is that now it's a city street in the city of Jerusalem, or just outside of the old city of Jerusalem. It's even paved. But way back then, you know, it wasn't paved. And it was just a pathway that was just wide enough, really. And to be honest with you, it's not that much wider now. But we begin at the Mount of Olives, and we work our way down the Mount of Olives. And at every time that I'm on procession with people that I take to Israel, we reenact the story. And we shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And it's lots of fun to do. About halfway down the hillside, there's a little chapel where we go and pray. It's actually the traditional site of where Jesus gathered himself up to weep over Jerusalem. And the chapel is built in the shape of a tear that might be falling from an eye. Behind the altar area is a window. It's just simply a window. But within the window is perfectly framed the old city of Jerusalem. You've seen that picture many times, but you may never have seen it from that angle. If you've been to this chapel that I speak of, Domus Flavit, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's one of my favorite places to preach, actually, because I usually just will turn and hold my hand out and say, "Jesus wept over this city and its people out of his deep concern and compassion for who they are and for what was going on in their lives and what they were paying attention to and what they're not paying attention to." I've had lots of pastoral conversations over the last few days. Even in isolation, Zoom has become my new friend, my new way to communicate with people. Cell phone, still that works as well too. But this is the message that I've been sharing to try to bolster all of us up. For the last you can say out loud the number of years you've been alive. In my case, it's 54. In the last 54 years, I've been preparing for a time like this, spiritually. I grew up in the church, went to Sunday school, did all of those kinds of things, did confirmation, graduated from high school, got my third grade Bible. You know, all those things that we do, it's all cumulative. Prayed at the altar, accepted Jesus into my life, it's all cumulative. Prayed, offered prayer concerns, had people pray for me. I've had people lay hands on me. I was ordained. The bishop laid hands on me. All of these pieces together, they're all cumulative for what it is that we are facing right now. Your journey is different than my journey. My journey is different than your journey. But we've all had a spiritual journey that have taken us to this place today. It was true, too, of those who gathered on that day that happened to be the first day of the week, Palm Sunday, and people threw their cloaks off on the ground. They cut branches off of trees and bushes and shrubs and laid them down on the ground. They had been preparing their whole life for that day too. And then they were still preparing some more. The text that I read from the Gospel of John, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You saw that really interesting exchange between Jesus and Peter. There's another exchange coming later that connects with this one too. But Peter boldly says, because you know, Peter's just one of those people who thinks that he has it all worked out spiritually. No, not my feet, but you're going to have to wash my head and my hands too. And this was after he said, of course, no, you can't wash my feet. But Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you really have no part of me. You don't get what this is all about. You don't understand what it is that we are doing. It's like that for all of us. I mean, really, really, it is like that for all of us. We can make some pretty bold claims when everything's going well. When we're pretty sure that on the other side of this experience of a parade where we've been held in high regard and, you know, the disciples were beginning to have a little bit of a conversation about who would sit on the right and who would sit on the left, you know. And that shows up every once in a while in the text. Because it shows up in our lives too. It's so easy for us to think so highly of our own spirituality. It's so easy for us to think, well, you know. In the midst of this passage, it invites us to think about the power of service. Not just to others, but to think about what service does for us on the inside, how it becomes fuel for ministry. When I was in seminary, a long time ago, 30 years ago, the largest chapel service that we had every year was the service on Thursday, Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday, and it was at 11 o'clock in the morning. And the place would just be absolutely packed. And it was the service where we washed each other's feet. Now, as I think about it all those years ago, the peace that continues to wash over me as I think about some of the people who washed my feet or I washed their feet who are no longer alive, of what the memory of their gift to me has meant over these years. And in those moments when sometimes life and ministry is really hard, I have remembered that service or one of the other services, and it filled me up and reminded me of some of the important things that I need to remember. One of the people who was in that room, well, all 3 years that I was there, was Bishop Nolan Harmon. Bishop Harmon was the original editor of the Interpreter's Bible in the 1950s. In 1956, he became a visiting professor at Emory University, and I graduated in 1991, and he was still visiting. He was there a long time. But he was in his 90s, and his goal in his life was to preach a sermon on his 100th birthday, and he did that. But he was there in that room. The things that he had seen and the things that he had experienced were all translated into his hands as he took a student's foot and washed their feet. I don't know if you've ever had that experience before, but I can tell you that it's much easier to wash someone else's foot than it is to have someone wash your feet. Maybe this is why Peter didn't want Jesus to touch his feet. Because while on the outside it looked like he had the game all together, maybe on the inside he didn't really have the game all together. It was an important time for Jesus and for Peter. At the conclusion, though, of that time when they were gathered in the upper room, Jesus did something really intriguing. He gave them a new commandment. So it's like commandment number 11, right? Well, no, not really. I give you a new commandment that you should love one another as I have loved you. By this, others will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. As I keep hearing story after story about the way that the church is loving one another, loving its community, loving its region, being deeply engaged in mission and ministry, I've been stunned. We've contacted almost all of the pastors in the district. We're still in the process of doing that. But one of the stories that I heard that just so deeply touched me, it's a small rural church. They have no electronic media. They have an old-fashioned light switch that turns the lights on in the sanctuary and that sort of thing. There's no high-tech operation there. But as I was talking to the pastor, I said, "So, like, tell me, what's going on in the church? How are you ministering to people? What are you doing? Are you on Facebook Live?" And, of course, the answer is no. But this is what I'm doing is, on Sunday morning, I'm calling every one of the households in the congregation, and I pray specifically with each one of the family members. And we share together, and then they pray for me. And that's what we're doing. It's just pouring in spiritual life and spiritual sustenance into the lives of the people, but it's also pouring life into the life of that pastor. These are the kinds of things that make all the difference in the world. And it's even broader than that. They're calling people in the community that they know to check on them, to make sure that people have some food or some toilet paper or whatever it is that there is need. And then they go and leave it on the porch and then they move away to stay socially distanced, because that is also our gift to one another. We will be known by the way that we love one another, according to Jesus. And in this text, it reminds us of the importance for us to gather together so that we might do those things. A couple of weeks ago, the cabinet and Bishop Palmer gathered together and we talked about what would it look like for us to have communion online. I mean, really and truly, it's nothing that we've ever advocated before. But what does it look like for the sacrament to be taken in our own homes. You have provided your own elements. I have elements here that I'll be sharing with you in just a moment. But to think seriously about what it means for the Spirit to come and be in our midst, even though we're not gathered in this beautiful worship space this morning. But friends, the Spirit is with us. God is with us. Jesus is in the midst of our gathering, even though it's electronic. And Jesus will be with us spiritually when we take bread and when we take wine. And we remember with thanksgiving Jesus' life and ministry, and that we've been called to join in. I give you a new commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another. But that new commandment came in the context of a week of events. The great joy and celebration of a Palm Sunday. And the gathering together at table for Passover. And the ritual symbolism that comes with each one of the items that are blessed at the table and that are eaten. All that has been shared, all that is said, becomes the context for that very important commandment. And you and I have been pouring into our lives, our whole lives, in all of those good moments and some of the moments that aren't so great, pouring into our lives so that we can be prepared for a time like this right now. So it's my prayer that as we gather together at table, that we would be mindful that all of those gifts come to us now and are holding us together, just as if we were being held in the arms and the hands of Jesus. Right now, wherever you are, the Christ is with us. Will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, you have called us to love one another. From joy and acclamation to this time of struggle and what it means to have our feet washed by you and to break bread at table. All that has happened in our lives is preparing us for that which we must do, that which we must live and embrace. So bless us in this week that we call holy, that we might allow the words of the texts, the passages, the narrative to wash over us, so that we might feel what the disciples felt. Questions, fear, wonderment. Misunderstanding. Because that helps us to dive deeper into our spiritual life. Maybe in a way that we've never taken that leap before. So open us up to the leading of your Spirit. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. If you have your communion liturgy, I invite you to take a look at that now. And will you join me in the communion liturgy? The bold-faced type. And I'm going to put this stole on. This stole was a gift to me by Bishop Cardona in Colombia when I was there a few years ago. And in fact, I was just in Colombia in early March, just before everything changed dramatically in our culture and in the world's culture. And so we break bread together. If you don't have liturgy, you can find the liturgy on pages 15 and 16 of your United Methodist hymnal. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and became subject to evil and death, your love remained steadfast. You bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Easter feast, that renewed by your word and sacraments and fervent in prayer, works of justice and mercy, we may come to the fullness of grace that you have prepared for those who love you. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you sent him in the fullness of time to redeem the world, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He took upon himself our sin and death and offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and where you are gathered. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other and one in ministry to all of the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Friends, because there is one loaf, we who are one body, break this bread as a remembrance of Christ's offering for us. The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. This is the cup of our salvation. Friends, this is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Take now and eat in remembrance of him. Take now and drink the cup of our salvation. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this, your holy mystery. For you have sustained us by your power and presence in this service. You have reminded us in your word to offer ourselves on behalf of others because Jesus himself offered himself on our behalf. You have reminded us to love one another. For Jesus gave a new commandment. And by this we will be known for our love for one another. Sustain us now with your love and grace, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Well, I want to remind you of the importance for us to continue to serve our churches and to offer in response to the Word and in response to communion our tithes and offerings and the work that we are doing still in the life of the church, in the community, as we're offering ourselves on behalf of others. At this time, when you are thinking about your offering, I hope that you might have it with you, that you might pray over it. So if it be okay with you, I'd like to pray over the offering as we receive it and give it to God. And then we'll have some music. Holy and loving God, we ask your blessings on these tithes and offerings. Strengthen the Ross Community Church in its ministry as it reaches out in concern and service to the world. Bless the greater church as we are engaged in ministry where we are feeding food insecure persons, bringing health care and medicine to people who need it, and providing health care institutions which people are relying on in the whole world community right now. So sustain us now with your love and grace, for it is in your name that we pray. Amen.